Thank you for tuning in to Emmanuel Faith Community Church. We hope you enjoy today's sermon.
Well, good morning, Emmanuel Faith. My name is Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here. It's so good to be together. If you're joining us online, a special welcome to you also. Last Saturday, our family went to the Padre game. They were playing the Dodgers. It happened to be the only game of that homestand that they lost to the Dodgers, unfortunately. And yeah, I get it. It was a sold out stadium, such a fun night. And as we were walking out, I mean, you know how you're just like packed in there like sardines, and then you start walking out and everybody's moving so slowly until you get outside, which is when you sort of hit it into gear. Unless you don't. And we were stuck behind this couple, and some people walk slowly because of physical limitations. I get that, I understand that. This was not the case with them. It was like they were on a stroll on a Sunday afternoon in a park. Like, if there were roses, they would have stopped to smell them. I'm guessing roses in downtown San Diego don't smell like roses, though, so you don't stop, like, there. But there was no drive. No determination. They very well might still be walking to their car. I'm pretty sure they didn't even make it before the break of dawn. I think if there were an 11th commandment, it would be thou shalt not walk slow as you exit the stadium, right? So I'm like weaving and bobbing, looking occasionally to make sure that my family is at least keeping up with me a little bit. Anybody been there? Like, let's just get us to our car and get us home. I'm reminded that one of the very first things that Jesus said to his disciples was, "Follow me," which presupposes that we are walking at the same pace that Jesus walks. In the 1960s, a Japanese theologian named Kosuke Kiyama wrote a book entitled 3 Mile an Hour God. He did this research to sort of find out that human beings typically walk about 3 miles an hour. And that the God who is love became incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ. And as he walked the dusty streets of Galilee and Judea, probably walked at about 3 miles an hour. Kiyama says that the pace at which God walks is a slow pace. It's a tender pace. It's a gentle pace. And what I've come to discover in walking with Jesus over the last few decades of my life is that he often moves a lot slower than I would prefer. It's funny, he doesn't consult with me about the pace. About the pace of healing, about the pace of restoration, about the pace of change in my life. Like, he doesn't consult with me about that. And as I've been getting ready to head into sabbatical, I have some big prayers that I'm praying. Like ways that I'm asking God to work in my life, in our family, in our church. And as I was praying those big prayers, a passage of scripture that had sort of caught my heart last year in my read through the Bible came back to me, and I just sensed that I needed to hear this, and maybe you do too. The point of my sermon today is that God often works more slowly than I'd like. My guess is that you've sensed that same kind of tension in your heart as well. There's things you're asking God for, and you sense movement, but it's just happening slower than you want. Is anybody with me? Sue Monk Kidd, in her memoir, describes a crisis point in her life where she really had this, like, what she might call a midlife crisis, and it felt like everything was crumbling around her. So she told her family that she wanted to go and spend a few days at a silent monastery where she would just go and try to reconnect with God. And in her time there, she describes it being completely tranquil and quiet. Like, you could hear a pin drop and the wind move through the trees and the birds chirping. And yet, even though everything externally was quiet, everything internally was loud. Like, everything outside was tranquil and everything inside was chaotic. Anybody been there? And she describes a moment where she sees this monk who, it appears, is experiencing inside what she's sensing outside, but not experiencing on the inside. And she said to this monk, she said, "You're so still and quiet. How can you just wait? I mean, wait so patiently on God. Wait in the moment." She says, "I can't get used to the idea of doing nothing." And the monk broke into this wonderful grin and said to her, "Well, there's the problem, young lady. When you're waiting, you're not doing nothing." And then he took his hands and he placed them on her shoulder and looked deeply into her eyes and said, "I hope you'll hear what I'm about to tell you. I hope you'll hear it all the way down to your toes. When you're waiting, you're not doing nothing. You're doing the most important something there is. You are allowing your soul to grow up. If you can't wait, you cannot become who God created you to be." So, maybe, just maybe, God has you in a season of waiting so that your soul can grow up. But let's be honest, that growing up can be really, really painful sometimes, can't it? I mean, I hate waiting. I hate waiting in a doctor's office. I hate waiting online. I hate waiting in a grocery store. I hate waiting on slow drivers. I only order things on Amazon that come Prime. And I love it when they tell me it can be there in 2 to 5 hours. Praise be to God. Let the drone drop it in the next 5 minutes. I don't like praying the same prayer on repeat, asking God for the same thing over and over again, waiting for Him to answer. I often feel like waiting is just time to get through, rather than time God's trying to get through to me. And I get the sense that in a room this size, there's a bunch of us that are waiting on different things. I mean, some of you are waiting on a relationship to be restored. Some are waiting to feel normal again. Some are waiting for the shame to just sort of subside a little bit, or the habit to be broken. Or some are just waiting on the world to change. And I would just echo back to you what that sage said to Sue Monk Kid on that winter afternoon. When you're waiting, you are not doing nothing. You're doing the most important something there is. You are allowing your soul to grow up. And if you cannot wait, you cannot become who God created you to be. So, if you often or maybe occasionally find yourself impatient with God, this sermon is for you. If you find yourself impatient with yourself, wishing that you would change quicker, this sermon is for you. If you find yourself wishing that God moved a little bit faster than 3 miles an hour, this sermon is for you. We're in a series that we're calling The Easy Yoke. And in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says to his disciples, "Come to me, learn from me, take my yoke upon you, and find rest for your souls." Taking Jesus' yoke upon us means that we are connected to him. And it means that we move at his pace, not our own. And I would remind you that his pace is sometimes, maybe often, slower than we'd prefer. Let me show you the way that this shows up in the scriptures. If you have your Bible, open with me to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. And as you're turning there, let me give you just a little bit of context. The nation of Israel had been in slavery for 400 years. God had miraculously released them. They walked through the Red Sea. The Egyptian army was drowned. They worshiped God, declared him as their king, and God promised that they would then have a land to inhabit, a land that would be theirs. It was a promised land. And in Exodus chapter 23, starting in verse 29, we see the way that God intends to give them this land. Are you there? Wonderful. Here we go. God says this: I will not drive them out before you in 1 year. Now, when I first read this, I thought, oh, not in a year. Perfect. He's going to do it in a few days. Awesome. Maybe weeks or months, but it's not going to be a year. Great. I will not drive them out before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the wild beasts multiply against you. Little by little, everybody say little by little. I will drive them out before you until you have increased and possess the land. It won't be a year. It's going to be a lot longer than 1 year. The promised land is going to be given little by little, as if to say it's going to be slow, a lot more slow than maybe we would prefer. See, I often wish that spirituality worked like a microwave or like a life hack that you could just implement and see dividends like right away. But it turns out that God's work is a lot slower, like my Traeger in the backyard, than it is like a microwave. God claims, I'm going to give you the promise, but I'm not going to give it to you all at once because you couldn't handle it if it came all at once. And this shouldn't surprise us, you guys. As we read through the scriptures, we see God working slowly and making people wait almost from page one. I mean, God tells Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. And then it's 25 years before he delivers on that promise. He tells Israel, you're going to be a great nation. And then they're in slavery for 400 years. David is anointed king and waits over 20 years to take the throne. And I've often wondered, like, God, why not close that gap just a little bit? Like, why not have him be anointed and then have him become king like the next day? What's the 20 years about? The first promise of a Messiah is on page 3 of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And it takes a few thousand years before God delivers on his promise. Man, this is the slow work of God, not just in redemptive history, but in our lives too. But don't miss this. Don't miss this. The reason that God works slowly is so that he can bless greatly. That's why he works slowly in the nation of Israel, because he wants to give them the land. And this is maybe a word for somebody in here today. I just need you to hear that God's quote-unquote delay is for your eventual delight, so that he can give you the good that he wants to give you. But you just can't handle it right now. See, I often assume if God's going to work, he's going to work quickly, right? Like, if he's going to answer the prayer for healing, he's going to answer it, like, right away. If he's going to answer the prayer for financial provision, he's going to answer it right away. If he's going to restore the relationship, it's going to be better, like, today. And this passage just starts to explode all of those expectations that we come to God with. And he says, well, I'm going to give it to you, but it's going to be little by little. See, God's promises often come through God's process. And his process takes time. And it's not instantaneous. I love this observation that John Mark Comer made in his most recent book, Practicing the Way, when he wrote this. He said, Jesus is in the business of healing souls. But while the four Gospels have dozens of stories of Jesus instantly healing people's bodies, he doesn't seem to do the same thing with people's character. Think about that for a moment. Like, he doesn't say, like, boom, now you're not an angry person. Boom, now you don't struggle with lust. Boom, now you're not greedy. Like, it's a process. There is not a single instance in which he simply waved his hand to take away an ugly habit or personality trait in one of his disciples. See, emotional healing, character development, personal growth, these things take time, and they usually happen as God works in our lives little by little, because it takes time to identify, untangle, discard, and replace the lies that we have made friends with and grown to believe. And I think, as I was thinking about this week, the reason that I struggle so much with God's little by little approach is that it requires my patience. Even that word, right? I mean, it means that I don't get what I want when I want it. And maybe that's exactly why waiting is a pretty major part of God's school of formation that he takes his disciples through. The way we wait often determines the fruit that we experience. See, everybody in this room will wait, but not everybody in this room will wait well. And how you wait will often determine what God does in your life through the waiting. I think that's why the psalmist writes, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong." Because sometimes you need to strengthen yourself in order to make it through the season. Can I get an amen? Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And there are some in this room where you're looking for a shortcut, or like if you're at Disney, you want that fast pass. Like, how do I get to the front of this line of waiting? Because this battle is hard and this struggle is real and I just want to get through it. But I'm going to tell you, that pass does not exist. And waiting is part of God's plan to form us into the image of Jesus so that we can receive his favor and blessing that he longs to, is pouring out right now into our lives. And some of you feel like you're in a season of waiting because you're being punished by God. And I want to say, you're probably not being punished. You're probably being prepared in order to receive what he wants to pour into your life. So for the next few minutes, I'd love to point out three things in this passage that the Israelite nation is challenged to do so that they can wait well, so that they can walk into the promise that God is giving to them. So listen to these words of God. He says this: "When my angel goes before you and brings you to the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I blot them out, you shall not bow down to their gods nor serve them, nor do as they do, but you shall utterly overthrow them and break their pillars in pieces. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness away from you. Among you." So here's what I want you to note, just initially as we jump into trying to explore how do we wait well. God says to the nation of Israel, how you wait well is by continuing to be devoted in worship. There's a number of other nations, there's a number of other forms of worship in the land that you're going into, and it's going to be so tempting to bow down to those gods in order to try to get what you want and to get it faster than I plan on delivering it. And so God says to his people, choose to worship while you wait. And I think so many people, we get into trouble because in those seasons of waiting, we try to take things into our own hands. And in a sense, bow down to other gods in order to get what we want faster. Like I think of Abraham sleeping with Hagar instead of waiting for the promise to be delivered through Sarah. I think of the nation of Israel making covenants with other nations in order to have their strength at their back when they go to war, when God was saying, just trust me, just trust me. But we do the exact same thing, you guys. The temptation to desert God is strongest when you are waiting for his favor and his blessing to be shown in your life. Let me say that again. Temptation is at its strongest when you are in a season of waiting. When you're in a season of waiting for the marriage to get better, or you're in a season of struggling with singleness, my guess is that's when sexual temptation and desire is just at its strongest. When you're in a season of walking through, God, are we gonna make it financially? That's when it's most tempting to cut corners. When you're in a season of just wrestling with depression and hopelessness, that's when it's easiest to give up. And the challenge that God starts off with, I think, is to say back to his people, listen, you focus on faithfulness and trust me with the fruitfulness. You focus on day by day, minute by minute, one foot in front of the other, walking with me, and trust me to take care of the rest. I think of Paul and Silas in a jail cell in Philippi. They were thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. How easy would it have been to just sort of throw in the towel and be like, well, if that's what we get for following you, we are out. And listen to the example that they give. It says, and about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. I mean, how many of you wish we have had some of those hymns today? Like the prison hymnal. Those are songs in the dark in more ways than one, right? And my guess is that they were real and honest, but also heartfelt and like, God, we are in this with you. We are not letting go. And the prisoners were listening to them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately the doors were opened and everybody's bonds were unfastened. See, here's the deal, you guys. If you worship and you're waiting, that God will immediately, automatically fling open those prison doors. Don't we wish that were always the way that it happened? And yet we know that it probably doesn't. Most of the time doesn't. And yet, as we worship, there's something in us that's loosened. There's something in us that becomes more free. See, worshiping may not change the struggle you're walking through, but it will change the way that you walk through the struggle. It will change the way that you interact with God. It'll change what your heart is open to. And some of you just need to raise a hallelujah in the middle of the storm. Some of you are here today to hear a word from God that says, instead of whining, start worshiping. Instead of just waiting to get through it, start worshiping your way through it. That is his design, and it will loosen something in your soul so that you don't just wait, but that you wait well. Here's the second thing. God says this, and I will send my terror before you and will throw into confusion all the people against whom you shall come, and I will make all of your enemies turn their backs on you, and I will send hornets before you which shall drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites before you. Now, anytime you read the name of a nation in the Bible and it has "ite" after it, you can just assume that they have a really big, strong army, and all three of those nations did, okay? So here's the strategy that God lays out. All right, when you walk into the land, they're gonna be terrified. When you walk into the land, there's gonna be this general sense of confusion. And when you go, I'm gonna send hornets. Like, my guess is that General Patton didn't have this on his whiteboard as he explored attack strategies, right? Like, none of us do. This is not like a logical battle plan. And I think that's the very point, that when we're engaged in a season of waiting and we're in a spiritual battle of sorts going, God, I want you to work. I long to experience more of you. God, restore. Like, typically, at least what I do is I go to what makes sense for me. Like, I go to the strength that I have. And every single one of these things is a way that they had to be dependent on God. And one of the ways that we wait well is that we trust God's plan above our strategy. We trust God's plan above our strategy. Let me just remind you that the invitation from God is to trust in the Lord with all your heart, to lean not on your own strategy or wisdom or might, but in all your ways to acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. See, you need to know that God's strategy is often designed to increase your strength, your faith, because your faith is directly proportional to the amount of his favor that you can receive in your life. Are you familiar with the story of Gideon in the scriptures? Where Gideon's facing, he's a judge and he's facing the Midianite army, and they're a strong army, and he recruits 32,000 Israelite soldiers to go with him into battle, and God goes, nah, we're not gonna do it that way. And through a series of tests and winnowing down the amount of people in his army, Gideon finally goes to battle with 300 people in his army. 32,000 to 300. And that's God's plan, so that they would know that when they are victorious, it was not because of their own might, but it was because of God's grace and mercy and blessing to them. See, what God knows and what you might not know is that your greatest strength is found in trusting his strength, not your own. And there's a reason behind what God's doing that sometimes feels like inconvenient and just like it's in slow motion. Listen to the reasoning, verse 29. I will not drive them out before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the wild beasts multiply against you. If I gave it to you right now, it would destroy you. If I gave it to you right now, you couldn't handle it. It would overtake you. See, and this is so important. In fact, I'm going to say this phrase, and then I just want you to repeat it after me because it's too good to just hear. I think you just need to say it. God's pace is for my protection, okay? God's pace is for my protection. God is moving at the pace of love. God is moving in your life as fast as he can move while giving you the blessing that he longs to give to you. But here's what he knows. The battle increases your capacity to receive his blessing. Because receiving his blessing is dependent on our character and our maturity and our wisdom. And that's all strengthened in the battle. You know what's really interesting is I usually pray, God, get me through the battle. God, get me through the struggle. God, get me through this season. And I think what God says back to me is, Ryan, I want to use the battle to strengthen you. I don't just want to strengthen you for the battle. See, because the battle that we so often want to avoid is the very thing that God will use to increase our capacity to receive his favor. So I wonder if there's some things in your life that maybe you're waiting on, you're praying for, and God's saying, I'm not going to give it yet because you're not in a place to steward it. Like maybe you're praying for more influence and what God is saying is, no, we've got to increase your character first. Maybe you're praying for deeper relationships and God is saying, no, like you need to deal with some of your past wounds and like your emotional intelligence needs to grow in order for you to steward that well. Maybe you're praying for more freedom and God is saying you need more wisdom first. What if the waiting you're in right now is designing you and stretching you to experience the blessing he has for you in the future. I think of the Colorado River that just carved out the Grand Canyon. And over time, little by little, carved out this canyon that could now house more water than it ever could have before. And I think that's the way the battle works in our life too. Remember, God works slowly so that he can bless you greatly. Look at this one last thing. Jump back to verse 25 with me. It says this, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water and take away sickness from among you. None shall miscarry or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. So here's the deal. God says, I'm making you this promise to give you this land. And it's going to take little by little over time for you to eventually get it, step into it. But in that in-between time, you're going to experience my hand of blessing. You're going to experience the blessing on your bread and your water that I'll take sickness away from among you, that even as you wait for the fulfillment of the promise, there's going to be these like breadcrumbs, pun intended, of God's blessing that follow you every single day of your life, even while you wait on him. I think that's what he wants their eyes to be open to. See, because you can only wait well as you celebrate progress while awaiting the promise. See, if God is at work little by little, I want eyes to see the little. Like I want to be able to discern, God, you're working in this way. You're moving in this way. I think it's why Paul will write to the church at Thessalonica and say, give thanks in all circumstances, because in every circumstance, there's a way that God's at work. He's at work little by little. That means he's at work every single day. And yet, I have a way easier time identifying the areas that I still need to grow than I do being able to name the ways I'm growing. Anybody with me? I can identify that delta between the man I am and the man I want to be way easier than I can see the way that that gap is little by little closing over time. And I wonder if maybe today Jesus is saying to us, don't get so caught up in the end goal that you missed the way that I'm moving in your life today. Because if you can't see and celebrate the little, you'll never discern the presence of God in the daily. Because that's where you'll see his hand. That's where you'll see him work. So friends, let me ask you, how are you growing? How are you changing? How are you seeing God's hand at work in your life? This week, how did you lean into trusting him and obeying him and walking with him? Listen, I get it. We all have a journey still to go. None of us are perfect, but you are not who you were, but you're all, sorry, you are not who you're going to be, but you are also probably aren't who you were. And what if you became a detective to see, God, you're changing me in these ways. They're little, but I want to celebrate them because you're at work in my life. Listen to the way the passage ends. God says this, and I will set your border from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, from the wilderness to the Euphrates, for I will give the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them and their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. Now, here's what I want you to notice. is that God is saying to a group of people who have been in slavery for 400 years, I'm going to give you this massive land. And one day, it's all going to be yours. It's just probably going to take longer to step into it than you would have liked. I'm reminded of what Bill Gates said a number of years ago. He said, most people overestimate what they can do in 1 year and underestimate what they can do in 10 years. And I would say the same is true in relationship with God, that most of us underestimate what God can do in a year and overestimate what he can do in a week. Most of us underestimate what God can do in a decade and we overestimate what God can do in a year. But this little by little adds up, and over time, God changes us so that we become people who can receive the blessing that he is pouring out. So here's the challenge, you guys. Here's the challenge: to trust God's pace as much as you trust his promise. To trust him being at work little by little, even when you don't see it. And to trust that he will be good to give what he's promised to give. I want to end, and you can start to put your stuff away. I want to end with a poem that has been one that's just really struck me over the years. It's a poem entitled Patient Trust by an often offbeat theologian. I don't suggest that you read everything that he wrote, but this is really, really good. His name's Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. And I just want to invite you, maybe just close your eyes. And would you just listen to these words and ask the Lord if there's anything that he wants to say to you, either through this poem or through this passage that we've studied today. It's called Patient Trust. Above all, trust in the slow work of God. We are quite naturally impatient in everything. We want to reach the end without delay. We should like to skip over the intermediate stages. We are impatient of being on the way to something unknown, to something new. And yet, this is the law of all progress, that progress is made by passing through some stages of instability. And that may take a very long time. And so it is with you. Your ideas mature gradually. Let them grow. Let God shape them without undue haste. Don't try to force them on as though you could be today what time will make of you tomorrow. Only God could say what this new spirit gradually forming within you will be. So, give our Lord the benefit of believing that his hand is leading you, and accept the anxiety of feeling yourself in suspense and incomplete. And friends, above all, trust in the slow work of God. Amen. I'm not sure what you're waiting for, and I don't know what in your life is taking longer than you hoped or expected, but I do know this: God often works little by little. And if you can't wait, you cannot become who God created you to be. So, worship while you wait. Trust that God has a plan and he's strengthening you through it. And as you see that little work in your life, celebrate it, because God is on the move. And above all, trust in the slow work of God, when you can see it and when you can't. This is my last sermon until mid-August. And I can't tell you how thankful I am, you guys, for a chance to rest and heal and recharge and play and be with my family. From the bottom of my heart, I am so, so grateful. So grateful. And a lot of you have asked, or some of you have asked, are you going to come back? And my short answer to that is yes. Yes, I will. But I don't think I'll be the same. Those are the people that want me to change the most. No, praise God. No, that's me too. I'm at that. I don't think I'll be the same. And I don't think you will be either. Because God is at work. And his little by little adds up. And my prayer for me and for my family is that over the next few weeks and months, that he shapes us more and more into people of his way and his heart, so that we can receive more and more of his favor and his blessing that he is pouring out. It's my prayer over you. It's my prayer over me. It's our prayer over us. Even as I was worshiping today, I was thinking, man, I am genuinely gonna miss worshiping with you guys. Genuinely gonna miss it. But I can't wait to be back at the end of the summer, and I'm excited about what God's gonna do little by little in between. Amen? Let's pray. So, Lord, we remember today that you are the same God who's able to speak creation into existence, that universes are born with the breath of your word. And yet, you enter into our life at the speed of love. You invite us to walk with you, and you change us little by little, expanding us so that we can experience more and more of your goodness and your love and your grace. And we would, as your people, just say back to you, Lord, we want to follow you at your pace, not our own. We want to bow and worship even when we're in the in-between. God, we want to trust that you have a plan and that you're good, and we want to be all in on that plan rather than forcing our agenda. And God, as you change us in the little by little, would you give us eyes to see it? So that we can celebrate and we can say, even though we haven't reached the destination, God is at work. Oh man, Lord, we don't want to miss the mile marker we cross because we're looking for the finish line only. But help us see your work all along the way. It's in your name we pray.
Thank you for listening to our service. We'd love to have you join us in person. For more information about our church and service times, please visit efcc.org. If you would like to support the ministries of Emmanuel Faith, you can do so at efcc.org/give.